Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
This is the voice of the American Redoubt. I am John Jacob Schmidt. This is the John Jacob Schmidt Show. I am proud to be your host, and thank you for tuning in to the voice of the American Redoubt. We are broadcasting. Actually, we are live right now across the American Redoubt through Eastern Washington, Northeast Oregon, and Northern Idaho. And to our listeners out there in the live streaming, welcome. Thank you guys for tuning in. Lots of exciting stuff going on right now. We are grid down. We are conducting our annual disaster training exercise known as T-Rex 2016 or Teotihuacan Readiness Exercise 2016. So this is exciting. We've got a lot, and we're tired. And this has been going on actually since Tuesday. Tuesday morning, there was a simulated 9.0 earthquake off the coast of Oregon, which kicked off a government disaster preparedness exercise called Cascadia Rising. I'll be talking about that in detail today during the show. We live stream covered that for 8 hours a day for that entire thing until noon yesterday, when we simulated a second earthquake going down, where we implemented a civil defense version, non-government citizen version of a grid down exercise, where that is going on right now, where we have radio operators across the country practicing passing radio traffic over ham radio and non-ham radio methods. It's pretty exciting. It's realistic. We'll be talking more about that. And we're actually talking to a new listening audience this week, just debuted last week, KTW FM 96.5. Now we are broadcasting across Spokane, or in the Spokane vicinity, and in North Idaho on KTW FM 96.5. Tell us how you like it. We want to hear your feedback. I'd love to hear your signal reports. Where are you? And you can get a hold of acn.cc. Click on the contact form there and let them know where you live and how well you're copying the signal, and let them know that you appreciate expanding the American Christian Network to a place where you can hear it. Better coverage, always growing all the time. And this is Radio Free Redoubt here, proud part of the American Christian Network. A special shout out to all of you out there in Central Washington, in Moses Lake, Yakima, Wenatchee, Tri-Cities. Many of you have also been seeing a lot of this Cascadia Rising training exercise activity going on. We've got radio operations in the background going here right now, receiving email over radio. Did you know you can do that? I'll talk about more about that here in just a little bit. But first, let's get into the news and commentary brought to you by Radio Free Redoubt, the Associated Press, UPI, and the major American networks. And the news segment is sponsored by Glenn Tate and the 299 Days book series about the collapse and the rebuilding. There is a preparedness scenario for you. Go to 299days.com, or the correct vernacular, 299days.com. All right. International news. Milan. Out of Milan. The European Union will start disintegrating after the Italians pick the anti-establishment five-star movement candidate as mayor of Rome on June 19th, and the Britons vote to leave the European Union 4 days later. The leader of the UK Independence Party was quoted as saying, they are saying the European Union is going to completely fall apart here very soon. So bookmakers still predict Britons will vote to stay in the European Union, while opinion polls have seesawed, though one on Friday gave a 10% point lead to the leave, like get out, exit the European Union side, for which Farage is a prominent campaigner. He says, we can't lose this referendum. There will be a big bang of British politics. Nothing will remain the same. He said he would destroy the old European Union together with five-star leader Beppe Grillo. So lots of shaking up going on over there in the European Union. We'll see how that turns out. And it is going back and forth whether or not the people want to continue to stay in the European Union or regain their national sovereignty. We hope that there is a resurgence of nationalism across Europe where people want to regain control of their borders and their language and their culture and take some of that back. But I'm not too optimistic. Germany is putting an end to hate speech on the internet. Really? The German government makes a deal with Facebook, Twitter, and Google, the social police, to remove hate speech within 24 hours of it being reported. Could this change the internet as we know it? This story asks. There's another one from CNET.com. The animosity on social networks towards minorities and refugees increases by the week. What they mean is when the citizens see their country being destroyed by this Islamic invasion and they cry out to seal their borders, this is animosity toward minorities. In other words, they're making victims out of the invaders. The refugees are part of al-Hijra. This is a deliberate and calculated strategy for Islam to dominate Europe, which they have been claiming this is precisely what they are doing. They're not even making any bones about it. So, given the rise in hate speech on social networks, Federal Minister of Justice Heiko Maas has once again called upon Facebook and Twitter to get tough on users who so-called abuse their community guidelines. On Tuesday, Maas told Bild that the spread of right-wing extremist propaganda on social networks cannot be tolerated. And of course, they get to determine and define what hate speech is. And Facebook and Twitter are in the same boat. All social networks should have a vested interest in not providing this kind of content with a platform, he said. So they are now implementing Facebook police. The Greens in the Europe Parliament called for a Facebook police to be set up. We urgently need a separate department of Europol, the European police, that can work in cooperation with local authorities to systematically search forums and social networks, which can effectively carry out cross-border prosecution for hate speech. And once again, they define what hate speech is. If you say, we don't want Islam in our country, that's hateful. And we'll cross borders and do whatever it takes with this new hate speech police, Facebook police, to hunt you down. So right-wing extremist views are not to be tolerated, although they preach tolerance. It's only as long as they can tolerate your views. And if you're right wing, well, that's intolerable. Amazing. Here is something that turned my stomach this week. Obama endorses Hillary Clinton for president. Well, that's what you would expect. But how he does it is by this quote. I don't think that there's ever been someone so qualified to hold this office. This should not shock us. It should still sicken us, though. Don't become callous to this when socialists and communists are championing their cause. Never get to the point where it doesn't offend you. But testifying to Hillary Clinton's grit and experience, President Barack Obama endorses his former Secretary of State bid to succeed him today and urged Democrats to line up behind her. It was all part of a carefully orchestrated pressure campaign aimed at easing Clinton rival Bernie Sanders toward the exit and turning fully to the fight against Republican Donald Trump. The most qualified to hold this office. Have we forgotten about Chinagate, the Clinton-Gore campaign in 96, which allegedly took bribes from Chinese banks and their government to help their dwindling poll numbers, taking money from foreign investors? Now we have emerging evidence possibly pointing to Russians putting money toward the Clinton campaign, Clinton 2.0. Or should I say 3.0 now, the third presidential run by a Clinton. Did we forget about the Travelgate scandal? Catherine Cornelius, a 25-year-old cousin of Bill Clinton's, was allegedly promised the position of director of the travel office. Hillary Clinton then indirectly fired 7 employees from the United States Travel Office and replaced them with associates from Arkansas, their home state. Records were either nowhere to be found or incorrectly filed, and there's a reported attempt to give a White House airline contract to a friend of the family. Hillary had the FBI investigate Billy Dale, a head of the travel office, the head of the travel office, ruining his career, who was found to do nothing wrong, but was then audited by the IRS for 3 years thereafter, destroying anyone that gets in their path. And now we have her unlawfully handling classified information, doing things that were any service member, some sergeant, some private were to handle classified material the way that she has, they would be court-martialed. At the very least, Article 15, but it would not go unpunished. Highly qualified? Are those qualifications? There's never been anyone more qualified. I guess that would be true from a socialist and communist perspective. But this is the stomach turning part. 25% of the Republicans agree that she is qualified to be president. 42% say of independents say she is. We'll be back in a minute.
This is Enola Gay of the Peritus Familia blog with the Prepper Tip of the Week. The foundation of most food storage programs is wheat. While in the berry, wheat stored properly lasts almost indefinitely. Just ask Pharaoh. The wheat stored in his tomb for over 2,000 years was not only nutritionally viable, it also produced an excellent crop when planted. Remember, once the wheat berries have been cracked or ground, exposing the germ, the wheat will begin to go rancid within 18 hours. If you choose to incorporate flour into your stored foods rotation, white flour is a better choice than wheat. Although nutritionally inferior, white flour has had the germ removed, thus eliminating the chance for spoilage. In the service of the king, this is Enola Gay of the Peritus Familia blog with the Prepper Tip of the Week. Survival favors the prepared.
love the liberty found in the spirit of America, and that's why I love America. But what do I have left when the liberty vanishes from America? It is just soil, like the soil that can be found anywhere else on earth. Benjamin Franklin said, "Where liberty is, there is my country." And 2 Corinthians 3:17 states, "Now the Lord is that spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." Well, that's interesting. Now, put the two together. Where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And where liberty is, there is my country. Did you really think removing God from this nation would come without a price? I'm Violette Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
You're listening to Radio Free Readout, the voice of the American Readout.
This is a Radio Free Readout. This is the moment of truth, whether we want to hold on to the Republic or let her go. This is, we're down to the wire if we are willing to fight for it. If we're not willing to fight for it, it's not going to happen. You cannot sit idly by as a spectator and watch a Republic vanish and grumble and mumble about it unless you get involved. Unless you do something about it. Do you care enough to pass something on for posterity's sake? It's not about you. It's not about selfish you. It's about your children and their children. I fear that we don't have what it takes in the way of the will to fight for what's left of the skeleton of this republic. Well, this segment is brought to you by Works.com, custom-made Kydex holsters made right here in the American Readout with a lifetime guarantee on all their products. Patriot-owned business. Check them out today at WERKZ.com, Works.com. Thank you for supporting our sponsors. Now, right before we went into the break, I was talking about Clinton being the most qualified and their approval rate and the endorsement by outgoing communist. I'm just going to say it. And this brood of vipers that has taken over the headship positions in our government, in our republic. Now, this poll, you know, is she qualified? Well, what do people think? Democrats, 78%, not surprising, say yes, she is qualified to be president. 25% of the Republicans say yes. 1 in 4 Republicans say Clinton is qualified to be president. There's a problem. 42% of independents say Clinton is qualified to be president. Favorable view of Clinton, 80% of Democrats, no surprise. Of Republicans, 20%, 1 in 5 have a favorable view of Clinton. What is wrong with that one person out of five that they have a favorable view of someone with so many ties to a criminal past, including the most recent unlawful handling of classified material, which anyone else would have been prosecuted for? Of the independent people, independents, they consider themselves independents politically, 43% have a favorable view of Clinton. See, there's something happening in our country, spiritually happening, influenced, where you're seeing a nation of people people do the most illogical things, and they perceive things. There's a veil over their eyes. This is why I'm saying we've come so far. We've crossed so many markers in the way of abandoning our morality. We've allowed ourselves to be deceived. And I believe as a Christian, we're being set up supernaturally for the rightful judgment that's coming. And this is where, like I've said before in the last couple of months, I believe now at this point, righteous people are being removed from positions of power, and they're being replaced with evil people. And the citizens don't care. They're fine with it. Or if they're not fine with it, they don't do anything about it. I want to get to something here. There is something I wanted to mention a couple of weeks ago. The primaries over in Idaho, I was watching that. I was so disappointed that there was a turnout of 22.6% voter turnout in the primaries. This is where two Republicans run against each other to see who you want to be on the Republican ticket come November. So you got two or three Republicans say, I think I'm the best person for that job. Pick me. So the Democrats have their person, you know, and they get one or two or three people running against each other. And this is a very critically strategic part of voting. Most people don't even bother themselves with it. And this is what's happening. This is how it's creeping in. This creeping gradualism is a very large component of our destruction, is because of the apathy of you, the voter. Because you show up in November and you vote in the primaries, and what do you see there? Democrat and Republican. Well, you know you're not going to vote Democrat because they're pushing a godless left-wing agenda. They're you know, pushing everything that my views are opposed to. So naturally, I'm going to go with the Republican Party, or maybe a constitutionalist, maybe a libertarian if they happen to be on the ballot. But most places it comes down to, you will see a Republican and a Democrat, with a few exceptions. Now, in this listening audience, you tend to lean very strongly toward the right side of the political spectrum. And so what you're going to do is choose Republican, and you're going to walk away feeling good about yourself, as if you've done your civic duty. So you can say to everyone else who didn't vote, if you don't vote, you can't complain. So now I have a right. I've earned the right to complain because I voted in November. But almost all of you, three out of four of you, more than that, will not have voted in the primaries. Now, the primaries were in May in Idaho. There were several conservative Christian patriot candidates that were ousted by other Republicans who are what we refer to as rhinos, Republicans in name only. They're registered as Republicans, but all of their views are left, to the far to the left of the values that we hold. But you were asleep, or you were doing something, watching a movie. You were doing something else that was better, more enjoyable for you to do, or less intrusive, or less convenient, or more convenient for you to do, because it is inconvenient to break up your schedule and to go vote in the primaries. Besides that, I'm going to vote in the general elections. This is what you don't know. The left knows this. This is part of their strategy. Over in Harney County, where this event took place, where the BLM has twice convicted the Hammonds, and now they're sitting in prison for starting a fire that got out of control that burned grass, when the BLM started a fire that burned hundreds of acres, got way out of control, burned structures, cattle, telephone poles, fence lines, everything, and nothing happened to any of them. No accountability. Those people are outraged. 72% voter turnout, and they are changing the political landscape in that county. Kootenai County, 22.6%. 22.6% versus 72%. Why? Because Kootenai County, being as conservative as it is, decided that they're so comfortable. They've got this in the bag. This is so red. We've got it. What you don't know is the left strategically is placing left-wing Republicans up against conservative Christian Republicans in the primaries. And they are dumping untold amounts of money. Incredible amounts of money are coming from Olympia or from Boise or from Salem into these rural areas that are conservative strongholds. They've got their sights set on Stevens County. They've got their sights set on Spokane County. They've got their sights set on Eastern Washington, and they are trying to change it, and they are succeeding. Because in the primaries, they are putting all of the money and effort and stratagem behind the left-leaning Republican, and those who truly represent your views are getting ousted. But you don't even realize it's happening right under your nose, and you can't figure out why your state continues to shift further and further to the left. It's because even among the Republicans, they are now where Democrats used to be on the political spectrum. They are either center or left of center. Anyone remotely to the right of center are radical extremists, right-wingists, constitutionalist spit. How did constitutionalist become a bad name, a bad word? That should be a label we proudly wear without the Constitution. And unless the Constitution's enforced, we have no republic. But August 2nd, mark it on your calendars and do truly do your civic duty. If you don't vote in the primaries, you don't deserve to vote in November. I stand by that. You do not, I would say you do not have the right. You might have the legal right. You don't have the moral right to vote in November if you don't get off your lazy butt and go out and vote on August 2nd, Washingtonians. Don't let what happened. They are winning. They are winning, and you can't figure out why. You got the deer in the headlights look on your face because you can't figure out how it's getting pushed further and further to the left, even when you live in conservative strongholds. This is how it's happening. And it's happening because you're allowing it, because of your apathy and because of your laziness. Yes, patriots, you're getting a butt chewing right now. And I'm talking to you, Washington. I'm talking to you, Idaho listeners right now. The abysmal turnout. The more conservative and red the areas are, the lower the voter turnout. But of the 22.6% of the voters who did turn out, the higher percentages of the left wing turned out because this is part of their strategy. They're counting on you sitting it out. This is the Voice of the American Redoubt. We'll be back in just a minute.
Hi, I'm Chris Walsh, broker and owner of Revolutionary Realty, based in the heart of America's Great Redoubt, North Idaho. Every day, I sell homes and land to bankers, doctors, economists, scientists, military folks, and more for good reason. They all know what's coming and want to secure safety and peace for their family. They've done the research and discovered that North Idaho's superior environment food insecurity surrounded by more like-minded patriots than anywhere in America. At www.revrealty.us, you can read stories about North Idaho's weather, spring development, growing food, solar, and alternative energy. Additionally, every article has a beautiful quote from the brilliant mind of Thomas Jefferson. We also give you free access to our listings, so feel free to browse our inventory or fill out our short form, and we'll do the searching for you. Call a revolutionary today at 208-667-1776 or visit us online at revrealty.us. That's www.revrealty.us. And God bless you.
Therefore, propaganda is vastly more important in democratic societies.
In recognizing a communist, physical appearance counts for nothing. If he openly declares himself to be a communist, we take his word for it. If a person consistently reads and advocates the views expressed in a communist publication, he may be a communist. If a person supports organizations which reflect communist teachings, or organizations labeled communist by the Department of Justice, she may be a communist. If a person defends the activities of communist nations while consistently attacking the domestic and foreign policy of the United States, she may be a communist. If a person does all these things over a period of time, he must be a communist. But there are other communists who don't show their real faces, who work more silently.
This is the voice of the American Redoubt, Radio Free Redoubt. Thank you for tuning in. God bless all of you out there in the fight for liberty and what's left of our republic. The Radio Free Redoubt is being the voice of the American Redoubt. What is the American Redoubt? It is a stronghold of conservative, Christian, value-minded people who are moving here, relocating here. Those who are here are strengthening it. Those who are escaping occupied territory, Seattle, Portland, California, Illinois, Colorado, they are moving to the American Redoubt because it is the only thing left, that and a few other conservative strongholds across the country, where at one time the immigrants moving to America tells us you must fight for these American values because there's nowhere else to go. Well, we squandered that, and now there is only a few more places to go, but the America as a redoubt, the United States as a redoubt for those people who cherish liberty, realize that that's shrinking. Now it is a few regions within the United States. The American Redoubt is one of them. And we are strong proponents of that because that is the only viable option, I believe, we have left. We have to brace for the consequences of refusing to repent and to continue to rebel against that power, that force, and that being that is the very source of our liberties, which is a gift which can be snatched away. It's a gift as long as we are good stewards of it. But if we are not, we can expect to have that taken away from us. So what would that look like? That would look like a remnant, what's left, the tattered shreds of the original garment. That's called a remnant. And the remnant is gathering, and we cannot care what someone on the left has to say, snickers and makes a little sideways comments. Who cares? You cannot care about what the world thinks. And they will attack it. And they are. And they're attacking everything that we value, our values. Well, this is segment three, and I'm going to talk about Cascadia Rising. We're going to shift gears here a little bit. Segment three is brought to you by Riverfront Suites, amazing, beautiful little suites along the St. Joe River outside of St. Mary's, Idaho. And This is a great place if you need a place just to get away for the weekend or during a weekday when everybody's at work. Or if you are in the American Redoubt and you're looking for property and you're looking for work, you need a place to hole up, riverfrontsuites.com is your hideaway on the shadowy St. Joe River. Check them out at riverfrontsuites.com. My email is johnjacob@radiofreeredoubt.com. I am behind on emails this week because of the continuing coverage of Cascadia Rising and our involvement in this turning into a week-long disaster preparedness exercise. We've been involved in various different aspects of this. So if I have not responded to an email that you've sent, be patient. First of all, if you could wait until next week, if it's not priority or higher traffic, then hold your traffic. But if you really need to get a hold of me, then it might be a delay getting back to you. John Jacob, RadioFreeRedoubt.com. And that's our website, RadioFreeRedoubt.com. You can also follow us on Facebook if you're a social media kind of person, Facebook.com/RadioFreeRedoubt, until the Facebook police come after us and shut us down. And we have our own server, so RadioFreeRedoubt.com will always be accessible and available to you. Unless things get so bad, we have to move it offshore. You have to use all kinds of covert methods to get a hold of us at Radio for Redoubt. Who knows? That could be coming in the future. Now, Cascadia Rising and T-Rex. Now, Cascadia Rising happened from June 7th through June 10th, yesterday, Friday. And yesterday, Friday, June 10th, is when Teotihuacan Readiness Exercise 2016 kicked off. And that'll go through tomorrow until noon. So what is this? It is a disaster preparedness scenario-based training exercise where the government is working to better identify its weaknesses, test out its what it perceives as its strengths, and put their plans that they have to respond to a major disaster, put those plans into place, and put them to the test so they can fix what's broke, so that they can respond more efficiently and effectively after an event like Hurricane Katrina, for example. So this entailed FEMA, the Department of Defense, state-level emergency operations, county-level emergency operations, the Coast Guard, MARS, the Military Amateur Radio Service, Red Cross, multiple agencies, government and non-government organizations. But this was really a government disaster training exercise. Most of the citizenry were not included. Most of them read about it in the newspaper. And then you realize, oh, there's a thing going on. And then now it's over and you didn't get to benefit from it, which is a shame. And that's one of the feedback that I gave. Include the citizens. Quit telling them, look, what does the government do? How much money do they put into National Shakeout Day, where what? Everybody practices at 9 o'clock in the morning to jump under their desk and hold on to the leg of the desk, and then it's over. Now you go back to your day. That's not preparedness. You're not prepared at all. That is so minimalist. That's something just to make somebody feel like they did something. It's a false sense of security and preparedness. You're nowhere near prepared for a real catastrophic 9.0 earthquake if the only thing you do is national shakeout, stop, drop, and roll, or grab on and hold on and jump under a desk. I'll go through some of these bleats, like tweets, that the citizens are putting out during this training exercise. Very realistic. Radio for Redoubt made it in the newspaper, and we weren't even getting lambasted. There was some coverage here at the Coeur d'Alene Press, and other media apparently are picking it up, but the Seattle Times, Radio Free Redoubt, and KXLY were covering nonstop coverage from the Cascadia Rising event. And so, yeah. And apparently they were, well, a lot of people were listening, FEMA, National Guard personnel, and lots of folks were tuned into the continuous live streaming coverage because we were bringing these updates regularly. And what they say here, Radio Free Readout reported updates from throughout the region Thursday. In Eugene, around 10:30 a.m., a massive explosion destroyed Malhone Suite Airport in Eugene. Officials said the fuel tank explosion was caused by a large aftershock, leaving the airport unusable. In Lacey, Washington, damaged bridges and roads, widespread power outages, flooding, and unstable buildings complicated emergency response services to an estimated 2.5 million people in need of life-sustaining supplies. They quote Radio Free Readout as reporting earlier this week. I actually remember that report. But we were tied into, I'll explain this to you, we were tied into what was called Simulation Deck. We were fortunate enough to have had the password-protected page access to this simulated internet that the government created to enhance and support the scenario with news releases timed perfectly. I mean, the sequence of events was really well done. Whoever organized it did a great job. So they have news kind of like CNN, but they had ENN and WNN. Then they had a lot of social media like Twitter, but only they called it Bleater, where people put out bleats, and simulation book. They had SimTube. So people were social media. They were uploading videos of, you know, what's happening in their neighborhood and pictures or things like that, where they did have cell phone coverage. And of course, all of this is simulated. It's all made up. Some of it's by actual game people, game controllers that are following the scenario, getting feedback from people, and then they're responding to it. There are actually lots of criticism against the government through the social media, and these being critical of themselves because this is a government-run exercise. Pretty interesting. And they also have algorithms that kind of track for different words, and they'll actually create social media tweets, bleats, that will kind of drive the scenario so that the folks responding to the exercise actually have to take into account the temperature of the citizens, the anger and frustration and despair that they're feeling, and the criticism that they're faced with for, you know, people feeling like they're not being responded to quickly enough and so on. Interesting. But what we did was we aired these audio throughout the day, every day for like 8 hours long. We got it recorded. We would re-air it that evening. So about, it would go till past midnight, the re-airing of that. But this is what kicked it all off. And these were news reports that we were bringing to the public, live streaming. Lots of people tuned in because Radio Free Readout was the only source. There was no one else covering it to the extent that we were, including bringing you updates like from World Net News, which here's an example. This is when it first broke from World Net News. And this is one example of the type of news releases that we were streaming in our coverage.
Intense shaking lasts in about 5 minutes has knocked the Pacific Northwest to its knees. Initial reports say a magnitude 9.0 earthquake ruptured the 700-mile Cascadia subduction zone from Northern California to coastal Oregon and Washington State up through British Columbia. This could be a generation-defining disaster. WNN's Brooke Lotz is following the story from our newsroom. Brooke, what can you tell us?
Gil, it's only been about 15 minutes since the first reports crossed the AP wire. So while the initial quake may be over, aftershocks could still follow, and the overall devastation has yet to be realized. The area hasn't seen a quake like this in some 315 years, which means energy has been building on that fault line for the duration. Scientists have predicted this event for decades, and if those predictions are right, we are going to be looking at a crippled coast. Thousands of people likely killed, injured, or missing. Buildings, homes, roads, and bridges damaged, if not destroyed, cutting neighborhoods and communities off from services and supplies.
Brooke, what about the risk of a subsequent tsunami?
Gil, according to scientists, that is likely unfolding as we speak. The coastal regions are certainly at risk from a large tsunami like what we saw in Indonesia in 2004 and Japan in 2011. Gilda's disaster has the potential to be worse than what we saw with Hurricane Katrina. The 2005 storm is considered the worst disaster in recent U.S. history and one of the deadliest, killing 986 people. It has also changed the way officials throughout the government respond to large-scale disaster events.
Thanks, Brooke. We'll check back with you later. Well, as we reported, the quake shook the Pacific Northwest region for about 5 minutes. Scientists say it's not the intensity of the shaking, but rather the duration that will cause the most damage. That's because time gives poorly built structures an opportunity to break and liquefiable soils a chance to liquefy, which only will amplify the damage to certain areas susceptible to that kind of hazard. Of course, WNN is following this story. Stay with us for updates. For the World News Network, I'm Gil Williams.
Okay, so that is an example of what we were streaming and airing for the listeners that were tuned in. And let me turn this back down. Okay, so it was really just amazing to be a part of. And it was a great experience to be able to share that. So how we were involved, we were just informing people, just like in a real world emergency, a Radio Free Readout would go live streaming to bring information to folks who do have access to the internet. And of course, we also have the Ameron Radio Network where we will keep people informed. These are some of the bleats the citizens were putting out to make this training very realistic. And let's see here. Let me look some of my notes. Incredible. Just like the real thing. People are dying by the minute in Washington and Oregon. By the way, this is only a training exercise. If you're just now tuning in, do not get freaked out by what you just heard. There was not an earthquake. It was simulated. It was from a disaster preparedness exercise from earlier this week, which is, took place all week. But these are some of the simulated social media bleats that were coming in. Why isn't rescue happening faster? Still, no sign of help from anyone here in hashtag Oregon. I've heard of a couple people getting help, but I haven't seen it yet. Anyone find food around hashtag Oregon? I've heard about MREs, but I haven't seen any. Has anyone spotted anything in the sky to come and help help us? Another one, next week until aid. We are out of food and water. Any resources on gathering rainwater, food, or forage? Well, these just continue to come in and the frustrations mounted. And the those involved in the exercise were kind of feeding off of this feedback from news reports, simulated news reports, as well as the social media. So it was very realistic. And already the after action reviews are rolling in where these government agencies are assessing themselves. Lessons are being identified. This is from emergency management website and magazine. What Whatcom County, Washington needs to fix before the big one really does hit. Today's emergency responders might not be able to communicate effectively. This article is completely focused on the biggest shortcoming that they've identified, and that's communications. Can I say it again? The biggest shortcoming in responding to a disaster for our agencies is communications. Guess what? It's no different for citizens. No communications. Now, they were simulating. People were putting out bleats. Hey, there's some dead bodies over here. Hey, there's some people trapped under this rubble. But in a real world emergency, you can count on those that bad of a badly affected disaster area not having cell phone coverage. Not even to send texts, but they incorporated it into this to simulate, you know, what if, you know, these towers were operational over here and people could send stuff there. There would be some that would be operational. Many of them would not, though. How would you communicate? That's what citizens are training for right now this weekend with T-Rex 2016. It's a chance for the citizens to communicate, and they're realizing without communications, you're ineffective. You can't call for help. You can't coordinate with each other without communications. And this is what our government is learning with unlimited budgets. And they have expensive radios and systems. But guess what? They all have their own proprietary type of systems where they can't talk to each other. This is a huge hurdle. There's no standardization between many of these agencies. So they cannot coordinate amongst themselves. Now, you know, that's going to be one of the findings from this. And they're going to have all kinds of billions of dollars in grants for encrypted whiz-bang communications and satellite communications. So where does that leave you as a citizen? Well, it leaves you completely out of the loop unless you can remedy that and stay informed during a disaster and be able to coordinate with one another. Emergency planners throughout the Pacific Northwest, both public and private, participated in the drills, simulating the effects of such a quake. Whatcom County emergency planners spent most of the 2 days either running through radio communication scenarios or assessing fake damage to area buildings, and they tested communications in response to hundreds of scenarios, including the collapse of almost every bridge over the Nooksack River. Their objectives were very restrictive to specifically how do they communicate, how do they actually run the emergency communication center itself inside with people and teams that they have, and then third, how do they communicate and interact with people in the field. Now, this is just all government operations. You see, there's nothing here about communicating with the citizenry. You're not part of this food chain. Now, they do have to work this out amongst themselves. They got to get their act together. But you as a citizen have an individual responsibility to make sure those gaps get filled in your own preparedness planning, overall planning. Maybe you store up food and you've got 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, or a year's worth. Great. But how's your ability to provide for your own medical care? These people are being told by FEMA and other resources, if they can get the message to the people, be prepared to take care of yourself for up to a week to 10 days. And possibly in some cases, they're saying weeks. Weeks, as these bleats are coming in from people saying, I've got like 5 dead bodies here. What do we do with them? We're out of water. All of these little ponds and puddles from the tsunami are now full of salt water. How do I get water? When are you going to bring me water? When are you going to bring me food? When are you, government, going to come and take care of me? I'm stranded and this is ridiculous and you guys don't care about us and we're going to die and you don't care. When are you going to take care of me? And these people got their little beaks in the air waiting for the government to come to the rescue, because they're not self-reliant. That is a part of American ruggedism that we've lost, that was one of the, I believe, things that really contributed to our strength as American citizens. Here's some of the things that, what did they say? You need a combination of both types of exercises, this individual said, this from this county emergency operations center, referring to both mass casualty and communications drills. Communications comes up once again. Now, communications wasn't a big deal for the citizens in this exercise that were putting out bleats because they had cell phone and data coverage. They could use their apps to send out these little bleats. But if that's not there, what do you have? Well, first I'll tell you, you're going to have a ham radio operator in just about every community in there, along those communities, up and down the coast. Those were not incorporated into this training. Those were not factored in. There are also AMRON operators up and down the coast. Ham radio operators, their mission is to get on the airwaves as a lifeline for their community to the outside. There are many AMRON operators that have a standardized plan with people that will immediately be on the air after an event like that as a lifeline to those that are in the affected areas. There's some of the things here that came up at the top as I observed this unfolding. For the people on the ground sending out bleats, if you even have cell phone service, but even without cell phone service, and these are based on realistic scenarios and frustrations and hurdles that people had to overcome in real world emergencies, whether it was Haiti with the earthquake, whether it was Hurricane Katrina or wherever, Japan with the earthquake and tsunami there. Number one at the top of the list, if you want to know how to prepare for a major disaster, learn from those who've been through it. So let's learn. What was the top item on their list? Number one, water, hands down. Water, water, water. The water was contaminated with raw sewage that had washed up from the tsunami. Water was contaminated by the salt water that was in all the standing water. And there was also broken sewer lines. And there was also ruptured water mains that had gotten contaminated. There are also dead bodies in the water. Very realistic from past tsunamis and flooding type situations that we've seen in the past with bodies in the water, decomposing, making that water not usable, tainted. Everywhere you go, even when there's water, you can't drink it. So you need to have some type of portable life straw type of water filtration system. You need to learn how to make your own improvised water filter. Go to the internet, look it up. There's so many ways you can make your own improvised water filter. Food was number two. Third was sanitation. People were unclean. They had no way of cleaning themselves up. No one had, you know, hand sanitizer and things like that. What to do with the dead bodies? Those were the three top items. Secondary hazards were category was aftershocks, unstable structures, natural gas leaks, wild and feral animals, chemical spills, and then nuclear proximity to nuclear generation facilities. And then the big one was mobility. People were not prepared to move. You couldn't move around. So they couldn't make it to shelters. Be prepared to shelter in place, but be prepared to be mobile and take all the bridges out of the equation. What if you couldn't drive your car? How would you get from point A to point B? Lack of information was a big one. I've got tons more information here, but you're going to have to join us for the After Action Review Sunday night at Radio Free Redoubt. We are out of time. Back to T-Rex, the scenario. You guys have a blessed weekend. Join us tomorrow night at 8 p.m. for our weekly podcast at radioforredoubt.com. God bless.